Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is December 12th and we are going to be studying our travel article for this month. My name is Campbell and I would love to welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us today. And in the studio, I have two of my friends here. We have Albert. How are you today, Albert?
Good. Good to be here, Campbell.
Albert, have you ever been to New York?
I have not. I'm super excited about this and sharing with all our friends.
Well, you're going to be taking a trip there today.
Yay!
All right, and we have Pauline here. How are you, Pauline?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Have you ever been to New York City?
Well, not New York City. I've been to the state, but unfortunately, I didn't quite make it to the city. Maybe next time.
Okay.
Wait, there's a difference?
Albert here has never been to the East Coast of the United States. Is that right, Albert?
So true.
Okay, well, we're going to take a trip together to New York City. It's definitely a place that I would recommend everybody go at some point in your life because it is one of the most famous cities in the world, and it is a very, very exciting place. I grew up in New York, so, yeah, I'll have a lot to share with you. But actually, you know, as I was preparing this article, I realized there's actually some places I haven't been to in New York, even though I grew up there.
That's not so surprising, because I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I didn't go to the Hollywood sign until I was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only, like, when a friend came to visit, she's like, hey, can you take me and my mom to it? And I'm like, sure. And on the way, I got, like, super lost, and I was super embarrassed. And she's like, haven't you ever been? And I was like, no, actually not, because it's just always there in your backyard, and you just don't go.
Yep. That's like my husband and I, we've only been here for, you know, a few months, and we, right away when we got here in our first month, we went to the Taipei 101 building, because it's such a big, you know, landmark of Taipei.
Yeah,
and I've spoken to many people now who said, oh, hey, I've lived here all my life, and I never have gotten there yet.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I honestly didn't go to a lot of places until I left New York, and then when I went back and like kind of became a tourist in my own hometown, that's when I started going to more of the touristy places. And, of course, you know, bringing friends with you back to New York and stuff, you kind of have to plan different things, and so it's kind of weird, like having to do research online
on your own home.
Yeah,
but you know, well, today we want to help all of you if you're going to plan a trip to New York. You know, New York is one of the most expensive places to live or to be. It's, you know, standard of living is really, really high there. But there are ways to save money, and there are ways to experience New York without, as we say, breaking the bank. And we'll talk about that phrase later. So let's get started. Our article is on page 22 of our magazine. The title is The Big Apple Needn't Take a Big Bite. What does that mean? Well, let's read the article and then we'll discuss.
The Big Apple Needn't Take a Big Bite. Experience New York City without breaking the bank. You already know that New York City is one of the world's most expensive destinations, but most of us want to go there anyway. Here are some tips on how to save. Number 1. Don't buy a tourist pass. When you're on double-decker tourist buses, you are part of an obnoxious blight riding around the city with a microphone blaring out the attractions. We quickly abandoned the buses and just walked or took a taxi or subway. Later, I discovered that quite a few of the attractions I thought I was saving on could be accessed either free or nearly free anyway. Number 2. Take the Staten Island Ferry. For a great postcard view of the Statue of Liberty, plus a 25-minute long harbor tour with views of the Manhattan skyline, you can't do better than this free trip to Staten Island. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Manhattan Terminal is at 4 Whitehall Street, New York. Number 3. See the Metropolitan Museum for a penny. Did you know the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Met, does not have an admission fee? Instead, it's by donation. You can pay what you like every day of the week.
All right, let's get into our article. The title of our article is The Big Apple Needn't Take a Big Bite. Okay, why? We're talking about New York. Why are we talking about the Big Apple?
I feel like, you know, each city or state in the United States, they have like a little nickname or slogan, mm-hmm. and New York City is known as the Big Apple.
That's right. So, what does it mean when it says needn't take a big bite?
Well, I think that now they're going to the topic of our article, which is about saving money, not having this break the bank. So it's another reference to that. If you take a big bite out of something, like your wallet, you're
right.
saying you're losing a lot of money.
Right.
So they're saying the Big Apple needn't take a big bite out of your savings,
yes.
out of your wallet.
That's right. A nice play on words.
Yeah, really good title. Yeah, I mean, as we were saying, New York is one of the world's most expensive destinations, so it can be very expensive to visit, you know, in terms of paying for hotels, even the restaurants, the food. You know, it can cost a lot to take a trip to New York, but there are ways that you can save money. And even though it is so expensive, as our article says, a lot of people want to go there anyway, right? Because it is a city that is full of culture and history, and it is one of the most famous cities in the world.
I would say it's like it's an icon in some sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we have a little map of New York there, and just a little explanation of New York. New York City is actually broken up into five parts. We see four parts there. We see Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, and Staten Island. Staten Island on the bottom is where I grew up. What most people think of as New York is actually what we call Manhattan. Okay, and I forgot one part is up in the north that's not on the map. It's called the Bronx. Okay. So the five parts are Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and the Bronx. All right. And so today, mostly what we're going to be talking about is the area called Manhattan. And this is the place that most people think of when they think of New York City. All right. So we're going to experience New York City without breaking the bank. And what does that phrase, breaking the bank, refer to?
I think of it as like my budget. If I break the budget, then I have gone past what I thought I could reasonably spend without really causing myself some financial problems.
Right.
So you don't want to break the bank. You might take some money out of the bank for this special trip, but you don't want to break yourself financially.
Right, without going into debt, you know. And I wonder if part of this is, you know, we used to have, as kids, you know, you have the piggy bank, right?
Ooh.
And that's where you save your money, your coins for a special occasion or a special thing you want to buy, right? And in order to get that thing, right, to get your money out in the past, you'd have to actually literally break the piggy bank, right?
That's right. I forgot about that, but that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so is that kind of, I think maybe there's that connection there about, like, you know, without actually having to spend all your money,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so here are some tips on how to save. So, number one, what is number one?
Don't buy a tourist pass.
What? Yes. Okay, so for people who don't know, tourist passes, these are, you know, you buy kind of a day pass or 2-3 day passes, and they kind of, you pay one fee, and then you have access to a lot of different attractions.
Like museums or theme parks.
Yep.
So would you agree with this, Campbell?
I would, because, I mean, you're kind of, when you buy that pass, you kind of want to get the most out of it, so you're kind of tied to it, in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of like forced to use it, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, it kind of limits what you can do, because you're kind of limited to what that pass can offer. You know,
yeah, sometimes like the pass isn't in your best interest. Maybe they just wanted, like, these companies, they want to have a deal to secure a deal together.
Yeah, and the pass that they're actually referring to is there are tourist buses, mm-hmm. right, that tour around New York City, and we see in the article, it says a double-decker tourist bus, and there's a picture of that double-decker tourist bus, and it's kind of interesting how the author describes the double-decker tourist bus. How does she describe it?
She describes them as an obnoxious blight. So, pretty strong words. She clearly does does not feel positive towards
right.
these
yeah.
buses.
So a blight is something that spoils or has a very bad effect on something often for a long time. You know, I think of like pests and bugs that eat up crops. Those are often referred to as blights. So it's kind of a very negative description. I personally don't think it's that bad. You know, I do see these tourist buses going around all the time in New York City, and sometimes it can be annoying because, you know, you hear the, like, you know, you hear them talking over, as it describes here, the microphone blaring out the attractions, you know, and to your left, you know, and it's, you know, and I do remember taking some friends to New York City, and then you'd see these tourist buses, you know, and
yeah.
they'd pull up, and then everybody, you know, would stand up and start taking pictures, you know.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, you know, he's like a star almost.
yeah, so I mean, you don't necessarily have to spend money on this tourist bus in order to get the most out of New York.
Would any bus be a good alternative? You know, just get on a random bus and ride around the city? Would that work as well?
In New York, it says here we take the subway, right?
Oh,
so
there
we don't. There are buses, but they're not as convenient as the subway because the subway system is very, very well developed in New York City. It's one of the oldest, you know, underground railway systems in the world. So it is a very established system. So the subway is really, really convenient, you know, and just walking, you know, as an LA person, you know,
I've never heard of this word.
Yes, no.
I drive to my mailbox, and my mailbox is just in front of my front door.
It's true. You know, when I took my wife's in LA, and when I took my wife to New York for the first time, she's like, okay, so where's this next place we're going? I'm like, oh, it's about two blocks down. I'm like, okay. And she's like, great. So we walk, and it takes us like 10 minutes, you know, to get those two blocks down. And she's like, I was like, it's not that far, you know. She's like, but my legs. I'm like, that's because you're used to like driving everywhere.
That's so true. My legs have been so sore ever since I arrived in Taipei. Well, it's getting better now,
yeah.
But when I first got here, because again, I'm from Montana, which things are very spread out, so you drive everywhere. And
right.
coming down to a city like Taipei that has a great public transit system means I'm doing a lot more walking. It's definitely good for the cardio,
exactly.
daily cardio workout, but it's
yeah.
it's a switch.
Yes.
So I feel like all of this gives you, as a tourist, a more authentic feel of the city, you know, walking it, taking the public transportation
right.
as though you were living there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it gives you more flexibility, more freedom. You're not tied down to just the attractions that are on that pass.
Okay.
Well, and actually, I think I'm really excited about reading the rest of this article because the reason I think that I would buy a tourist pass is because I would be feeling a little uncertain
right.
about where I should be going,
right.
not wanting to break the bank and spend tons of money on all these sites
right.
that end up being more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
So I have the security of buying a pass. I know exactly how much it is, and
right.
they'll tell me where to go.
Yeah.
But an article like this really helps open up my understanding of what's available,
right.
what really is manageable
yeah.
and could be done without
sure.
needing to rely on a tourist pass. So I
right.
think the rest of this article really helps give you the tools you need not to have to have a
Yeah.
tourist pass.
Yeah. I mean, the tourist passes are nice because there are some attractions that do cost money, but the thing is with the tourist pass, again, you're limited to the sites that are on that pass, you know, and because you want to get the most out of that pass, you're gonna try to stick to what's available, you know, and since those passes do have a limited amount of time, it's really not, most of the time, it's not gonna be worth it for you because you're not going to be able to go to as many sites as you need to make that pass worth it.
Mm.
Oh, wow. I never, like, consider that it could be such a drawback. It's like you're locked in. You're like, oh, I don't want to go to this extra thing because I already spent this much money on this pass.
Right.
And, oh, that's just going to be even more money I'm going
to
spend.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so number two. What's number two?
Number two says, take the Staten Island Ferry. This one would definitely be on my top list of things to do if I
yeah.
go to New York City.
Okay, cool. You know, I, as I said, I grew up in Staten Island, and I used to work in Manhattan, so the ferry goes between Staten Island and Manhattan, and I used to take this ferry every day.
In the morning.
You know, in the morning and then at night going back home, and so for me, this is not a tourist thing to do, you know? For me, this was like, you know, it's like if You have, like, maybe, like, oh, for example, here in Taipei, they have the MRT, right? Would you go on the MRT for just, hey, I'm just going to go on the MRT because it's fun, you know? Like,
wow, but actually, I kind of do. Because it goes everywhere. You can go all the way to, like, the beach. You can go all the way to hiking.
Okay, but you're going on the MRT because you're going somewhere, but you're not going to go on the MRT just for the sake of going on the MRT.
That's true. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, it is something, I do take friends on the Staten Island Ferry because, A, like, the way it's described, right, you get a great view of New York Harbor, you get a view of the Statue of Liberty, and it's free, and that's the best part of it, you know.
Does the ferry run, like, every half hour, every hour, or is it just every minute?
No, it's it takes about 30 minutes to get from one side to the other.
Okay.
And so during rush hour, it's, like, every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes.
Wow.
But, you know, it is a 24 hours a day, but towards the, you know, like, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it only runs every hour, right? So then there's only one boat that goes back and forth.
Right.
Right.
I'm glad you added that piece of information about it also being a useful transit for the people in New York, because Albert and I were both surprised when we read that it runs 24 hours a day.
Right.
Now that I realize it's also for the people who are having to make it to work.
Yeah. It's definitely a commuter. It's a commuter tool.
That
right?
makes sense.
Yeah. So, So basically, I think what happens during the day and during rush hour is they have two to four boats that go back and forth, right? But then towards the middle of the night when there's not as many people, there's only one boat that goes back and forth. You
right.
know? Which kind of sucks if you're like just like 5 minutes late, you know, then you're waiting for that next hour for the next. And that's definitely happened to me a couple of times, you know, where, you know, I was just like running just a little late and I see the door closing and then, you know, you're in for the, you know, you're waiting for another hour. But yeah, it is a great ride. It's very peaceful. You know, you could take pictures, you get to see Ellis Island and you get to see the Statue of Liberty. And as it says, the Manhattan Terminal is at 4 Whitehall Street, New York, and that is just at the southern tip of Manhattan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And earlier we were talking about how a few of the attractions that were on the pass could be accessed either free or nearly free anyway. And we're going to be talking about one of them right now. So tip number 3 is see the Metropolitan Museum for a penny. Do you guys know what the Metropolitan Museum is?
To be honest, I only vaguely know. I would love it if you would explain a little more to us.
All right. Well, the Metropolitan Museum of Art is one of the most famous museums in New York, and it is an art museum, and there are different exhibits from different eras of time, you know, like the Roman time and the Greek time, and I believe there are even like Egyptian type things, and they have different exhibits too, in terms of like fashion and different cultural items in there. And most people don't know is that you can actually get in for free or really, really cheap, because the sign actually says suggested donation. Right, is what, like $25 or whatever. But what people don't realize is suggested donation really means suggested donation. So you don't actually have to pay $25. You pay as you wish. So you can give in, you can just, you know, I'm going to pay a penny, and you can go in, you know, just have to be able to endure the looks of, like, you know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure people are not standing by the door judging you. I hope not.
I just think that's a beautiful system. I do hope that there's people who, I would assume part of the idea is that people who live there go more frequently because they don't feel like they have to pay $25 every single time.
Yeah.
And people who really love it and have the finances to be able to pay a little more, hopefully will, to knowing that others who can't afford it but really have a love for art can feel free to go enter and enjoy that. I think that's beautiful.
Yes.
I feel like it's such a great system because it's like, oh, you know, art and history and culture should not be limited to anyone. But at the same time, like, putting that, just that penny, that little donation, it makes you value or cherish with the experience or the exhibit you're about to go into. And I've never actually, you know, well, I've never been to New York, but I feel like I know the Met from, like, all those, like, these movies where they have dates or romantic comedies they have, like, it's like, I kind of know it.
It's a very famous museum. There are a lot of great paintings and exhibits in there. I mean, when I first took my wife there, I saw the suggested donation, and I kind of knew that it was suggested donation, but I felt weird, you know? I kind of felt like, I felt like I was being cheap to just give a penny, even though technically I knew I could.
Yeah.
So I still paid the full amount. But at the next museum we're going to talk about, I did actually do the whole suggested donation thing, and I'll talk about that after we read this next section.
Number 4. Pay what you will at the Natural History Museum. Same deal as the Met. Buy your tickets at any admissions desk in the museum. My teens loved this museum across the street from Central Park. Number 5. Take a guided stroll in Central Park. One of New York City's great free attractions is Central Park, with scads of things to do. There's a lake, boathouse, bridle path, Shakespeare Garden, castle, and more. The Central Park Conservancy offers free guided Thursday evening strolls July 7th through August 18th. Number 6. Attend free concerts and more. Get brochures and read oodles of information about things you want to know on the New York City Tourist Authority website at nycgo.com. There's a list of free summer concerts, maps and guides, and lots more.
All right, so like the Metropolitan Museum, the Natural History Museum is the same. Okay, you can pay as you wish. And as I was saying earlier, at the Metropolitan Museum, I was kind of self-conscious about paying as I wish. But this past time, meaning last year or earlier this year, I took some friends to New York, and there was a large group of us, and I didn't want them spending a lot of money to go see the Natural History Museum. So I just went up to the desk and I said, hey, I'd like to have 15 tickets for $15. So basically I paid $1 a ticket, and the guy didn't even blink an eye. He was like, okay. So he sold me 15 tickets, and basically everybody paid $1, and we all went into the Natural History Museum for $1.
And see, now the funny thing is, for me, I would probably end up paying more for the Natural History Museum than for the Metropolitan Museum, just because I'm more excited about natural history, and I know that it has a higher value for me.
Right.
I'd still probably go to the Met and pay a little bit less, knowing that I wouldn't have gone if they'd asked for more.
Right.
So I think each person is different. It depends on how you value it.
Yeah. I want to say high five, because that's the same, my perspective of it as well. And I feel like during the reading, Campbell, you were mentioning how this money will, what does it go to?
Well, the money goes towards the upkeep of the museum, and so the different exhibits, you know, you need people to take care of it, and it goes towards, you know, running the museum. So, you know, if you are able to pay more, then do pay more, you know, and if you aren't, then that's okay.
Awesome.
The Natural History Museum is actually pretty famous. If you've ever seen the first Night at the Museum, that movie was based on the Natural History Museum, and it's great. There's a lot of exhibits in there of like animals and different things, and they look absolutely lifelike, because truth is, a lot of them were alive at one point. They're stuffed, you know.
Wow.
But yeah, it's really, really cool museum. They have this huge, gigantic, life-size whale.
Oh,
Yeah. Well, they do. They have dinosaur bones, you know, the fossils. They have a lot of amazing, amazing things in the Natural History Museum. So definitely go there if you have a chance. All right, number 5, take a guided stroll in Central Park.
Now, I'm assuming you've been to Central Park.
I have been to Central Park, yes. Central Park is a huge park right in the middle of Manhattan, hence why it's called Central Park. It is a free attraction. A lot of people go there to exercise or to have a picnic or just, you know, to hang out during the day. And there's a lot to do in Central Park. We use the word scads of things to do. What does that word mean?
Just means lots and lots.
That's right. There's a lot of things. There are scads of things to do. There's the lake, a boathouse, a bridle path. What's a bridle path?
Is that where they have horses?
That's right. It's a track or pathway designed for riding horses on. And you can actually go on a horse-drawn carriage ride, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen that in movies, right? The romantic horse-drawn carriage ride through Central Park. Yes.
Now, how big exactly is Central Park?
It is huge. Huge. It's, I think, about 50, 60, 70 blocks. I'm not sure exactly,
wow.
But it's huge.
Wow.
Really, really large park. And there are free guided Thursday evening strolls from July 7th to August 18th. One of the best things in Central Park is called Shakespeare in the Park. And every summer they have a Shakespeare show put on in the park and you can buy tickets. It's hard to get tickets to, but it's a big event there in Central Park. All right, and lastly, attend free concerts and more. Get brochures and read oodles of information about things you want to know on the New York City Tourist Authority website, nycgo.com. All right, so earlier we talked about scads. Now we're talking about oodles, both fun words meaning lots and lots and lots. All right, so there's a lot of great free summer concerts. One of my favorites happens in Bryant Park. It's called Broadway in Bryant Park.
Ooh.
And so they have actors and musicians from various Broadway shows, and they put on a free concert. They just go into Bryant Park and they, you know, sing a couple of songs from their show to help promote their show, you know, and it's free, and you can just go and sit and enjoy. So there are a lot of great things to do in New York, and they don't have to cost you an arm and a leg. All right, friends, we have more to talk about. We're out of time for today. Make sure you come back tomorrow for some more tips on how to experience New York City without breaking the bank. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.